Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Echo Season 1, Episode 5. Maya! All that and more to this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I am Jeff Ramble.
And I'm Ashley Coffin. And
got her.
I finally did it. You got me. I wasn't expecting Ramble.
Yep. All right. What is happening, my friends? We have seen the finale of
Seen it all. We got all of it wrong.
Did any of
On our bet questions, we got all of it wrong.
Oh, yeah. No,
but
one
they
died.
Definitely came to blow up that little. I was like, they're going to blow up the powwow. Well, we all kind of said that was happening. And I got very nervous for everybody when it started happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I mean, the show did shock me. I didn't expect what happened to have happened the way it happened.
And it makes the future of that, of Fisk's character and Maya's character, all the more interesting because. Yeah. You were asking Ashley, or no, Jeff, you were like, it could be Fisk that dies, because I think that, I forget who said that.
No,
because what's the future of this character?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. You're like, maybe because what's the future for that character? And now we know, after this post-credit sequence, what the future might be, and, like, on top of that, it's, like, he's just a different character. If he's Fisk, who has had some of his pain healed in this mystical way... Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean for the future of Fisk? Is he as violent? Is he as angry? How does that mean he'll relate to Daredevil? Because, you know, Daredevil, like, is not going to want him to be mayor.
Yep.
Yeah. But didn't he already do the mayor thing? What did he run for during Daredevil? He was like, I'm going to mayor of, was it just like Hell's Kitchen?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because he's like, I'm going to clean up the city. And everyone was on board for a minute.
He does run for something.
Because they poisoned Vanessa at the fundraiser for him.
Was he running for mayor?
It must have been mayor.
It was something, if not mayor, some other kind of government thing, I thought. Because he was in charge of all the buildings falling down. Like, remember all the houses? Like, Foggy and Karen had met that the lady. Who she's like, I'll pay you guys an awesome food.
Miss Cardenas.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta rewatch season 3, but yeah, it sounds like they may have done a plotline like this before, which, like, that doesn't mean people run for office all the time, and then they run again, you know? and this would be a very different Fisk if he's without his pain. He's no longer inside staring at that blank wall, you know?
Yeah.
That was intense, man.
God, that was crazy.
Yeah. I found myself crying in this episode. Like,
aww.
I wrote in my notes, what's with this Disney shit? Because I was expecting, like, the most, like, brutal, you know, like, it's spotlight, it's adult, it's going to be brutal and dark. And then we find her having this, like, incredibly touching moment with her mother. This, like, just healing moment with her and her mother. And when her mother starts trying to heal her pain, like, that just got me, man.
Oh,
And it got me real, real hard. And then later when she chose... You have these hands, it's very Iron Fisty. She has these hands that can, like, you know, she can use them to cause pain, use them to hurt, or she can use them to heal. And she knew in that moment, like, Fisk was right. She doesn't want him dead. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
She says, you are my uncle. Like, as much as I, like, as much pain as you've caused and as much as I hate you at times, like, I care about you. And so her choice was not to harm him with the fists, but use those glowing hands to heal him. And that's such a cool choice and a weird, interesting thing for the future of both of these characters. I love it.
Yeah, it's a weird implication, though, to be like, this person can heal emotional and mental pain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, only at times when her, like, ancestors feel as the great need, they come to her.
I don't know, because her mom, what I got from the scene in the beginning with her mom is her mom could control the power. Because just true. To bring the little bird. Because
her mom was a healer.
Well, yeah. But I thought that was her mom's power, and her mom could come to her at times when she needed it or whatever.
I feel like that power might have passed to her. Because I figured she'd be the top of being... She's the Doctor Strange of, you know, they're probably going to be the best using the powers.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Well, and they did say that, you know, she had the powers of strategy, cunning. I forget the third one, and then love. What was the third one?
Oh, ferocity. Tenacity.
Ferocity.
Ferocity. Yeah. Okay. And she says, you know, those are your traits. Those are you, and those are all because of these other women who came before you.
Yeah.
And they're all a part of you.
We echo through you.
Oh, it was so good. I wasn't expecting Grandma to kick ass. I laughed. Oh, I was like, was so whoa. Because I thought she was going to take them all out. Now, when everybody started fighting, I was like, oh, okay. Get cool, it, Grandma. Wow. Pow, pow.
Grandma like threw the guy into the
it
roof.
It was great.
It was interesting. Like, you know, we don't know how these powers work. Totally new to us in this world. And like, she got to choose. It looked like Maya chose to send those powers to the other women in her family, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like...
It's like she activated it in them.
She has the complete control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It seems interesting. I am curious, like, how those powers will manifest. Because I do like her just as, like, a street level, you know, fighting hero. But, like, that definitely complicates her power set if she can, like, heal emotional and physical damage, like you said. It's wild.
People be lined up around the street. Mm. Yeah. Hiya. Like, hey, girl. Hi.
I need some therapy real quick.
Can you just take this away?
Yeah, I need therapy, not therapy. Could you just, like, knock that out? I mean, God, think if she got those, like, those hands on Frank Castle. Like, he just... not punish her anymore.
He wouldn't want it. Just Fisk was so mad. He's like, what did you do? He took away. Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, Fisk doesn't seem to understand what's happened to him. What did you do? It really, and like him sitting on the bed in his childlike state, like freaking out, like as he hears his mom being beaten behind the wall. Like, it was intense. And like,
the wall was like cracking and like bits of the plaster were coming out.
Yeah. And it's just, that's where he's been. That's where his life has been held in that place all this time.
And I love that they understood each other.
Yeah.
Like in that little dreams, whatever world she created is cool.
Yeah, in his head, she was signing, but he knew. Mm-hmm. Like, he understood. Mm. She's saying, like, you have to let this go. You have to let go of your pain. It's like, I'm not who you want me to be.
He loves it. He loves his
pain. And he flips the bed up and grabs the hammer. It was... Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio deserves so many awards for that. That scene was incredible. Like, his acting was... Chef's kiss. Like,
it was a little off the charts. Like, he was fully, we've talked about it a lot, how he's very childlike when he's in his angry state, you know?
Yeah.
And this was like full on tantrum mode when he was just freaking out in his
Vincent
little,
commits
in the bedroom.
To his roles. Sure. Yeah, he does.
Definitely. Sure. Ever since, I don't know, something about this season, all of our impressions of Vincent D'Onofrio, I cannot get Edgar out of my head. Like, I just keep thinking about how similar those voices are.
He does really channel it. He does.
Not my head.
But I love the way he talks. I'm like, oh. So I'm very excited because I was worried that where are we with this character this whole season? And I thought maybe it would be the end. But now he is setting up to be more of a higher level villain like he was in the comics with Spider-Man and stuff. So I'm like, please. Don't leave me hanging with this.
The implication that like mid-credit scene gives us with like Mayor Wilson Fisk, like he's going to be back in New York.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah, he's going to be in a position, or at least the potential for being in a position of power where Spider-Man and Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and all of those people are like, that's their home. I mean, hell, even like, you're older. We could have like old Captain America, old man Captain America could be there. Like, old man Steve.
Crazy.
Like, I know.
He's on the moon.
Oh, right. He's on the moon. But just like, there are so many heroes that live in New York. I mean, Kamala is right across the river in Jersey.
I guess Wong's still there part time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. We need Wongers. Where's Wongers?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Doctor Strange?
But, like, all of these people live in New York, and Fisk is going to be a big, important deal there.
Mm-hmm. And everybody should vote, because the mayor...
Yep, vote Fisk, everybody.
But he's going to corrupt it. Oh, it's good. Oh, God, look at Disney with their agenda. No. Stolen elections, and Fisk is governor of New York, or mayor.
It's going to be very, I feel like, I think they did that with season 3, though, of Daredevil 2, like the whole, like, outsider coming in to be, it's very, it's got some very Trump vibes going on, businessman from New York.
And we already know how bad Fisk is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a matter of, like, can he be reformed?
With his new soul? But who's going to believe him?
Yeah, does that count? And, like... Who's actually going to believe him?
We never saw the white fingernails, by the way.
Damn it!
And from the trailer.
Yeah.
What I thought were the Vanessa fingernails.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we never saw them. So something might have gotten cut.
Yeah, good call. Good call. One of my favorite moments, and this is that like set me off in a weird way this episode. In the intro, they had very intense like horror movie music going on. It was like, dung, 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 dung. Like very like, intense, dark, like made you feel very uneasy. And then they showed that shot of Biscuits riding by his grandmother, and it just gave that scene a totally different vibe. You guys ever seen those like YouTube videos that are like The Shining, but it's a romantic comedy or whatever?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, where they set the Shining to like happy music. It's like, like the kid riding around on the tricycle, and like,
and it just looks like a great time.
Yeah, it looks like a great little romantic comedy. That's what I felt like when Biscuits, it's like the funniest scene from the show, and then Biscuits riding by there slowly, but with like intense music. I was like, is he stalking his grandmother? Like, what is going on right now? It's really good. I don't know, I enjoyed it.
Oh, man.
Speaking of the grandmother, like, I love seeing Fisk at his most charming. When he was talking to the grandma, I do believe that he knew that was Maya's grandma because he saw it in the picture.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But the way it hit him when she said her name, I thought was interesting.
Her name is Maya.
And he was like,
yes. Well, tell me about her. That's such a thing, like, to ask a grandmother to, like, please continue telling me about your grandchildren. You know, like, grandparents love to do that, like, love to just, like, talk about their, and like that was such a moment of charisma, as you said. I had that in my notes. Like, he's so charismatic in that moment when he's like, tell me about your granddaughter a little more. Like, just, it just seems like he's just a kindly stranger in the post office needing to hear about. Well, I don't know. It's so good. It's so freaking good.
And then we got to see full on. I mean, my favorite Fisk moments are when he goes full on berserker rage mode and freaks out, but we got to see this one silent, which I thought was crazy because you could just still see him acting and screaming it out, but we didn't get to hear any of it. But I could also hear it at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew exactly what.
You felt
I
it.
Knew how you he was saying that. Soul. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there was one we never got to get translated.
Right before she got hit.
Yeah, right before she got hit, he yells this long screed at her. And then as she turns to Bonnie, she gets struck. And it's like, oh, we're just not going to find out what that one was. It was interesting.
Yeah. I love it. Can I love those lips? Kind of choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you can read lips, which everybody's expecting her to do, you'd be fine. It's not that easy.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I can read lips, but I do sometimes like something tasty on my lips. Like magic spoon.
No. It's, you don't read lips, you read cereal boxes while you're at the table.
You got your own. I went for something else.
Okay. Sure.
You both had things prepped and didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't have anything prepped. We were just saying stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I may not have magic hands, but I got a magic spoon.
That's right. Our sponsor today is Magic Spoon.
So growing up, I used to eat so much cereal. It was like, that was the breakfast of champions, breakfast of choice.
Used to.
Yeah, I still do.
Me too.
But the problem is, here lately, like, you know, with the diabetes diagnosis and whatnot, I have to be a lot more carb conscious. So it's like, do I have to give up cereal or do I have to give up on, like, living? I don't have to do either of those things because Magic Spoon has all of those great flavors and zero sugar. It's amazing.
You know, even if you're not a diabetic like me yet, like just taking care of eating less sugars, having a lower carb diet, it's the right choice for a lot of people.
Well, it's hard to get a lot of, you know, protein and stuff. You drink shakes, and I'm not a big fan of those. None of them are very, you know, good tasting. I've done powders for years, but I found that this is a really delicious way to get my protein, because I like to trick myself that I'm eating a sugary cereal, which this very much tastes like. And yeah, I really liked it. I like, they have cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That variety pack of all four of those. You know, just a little hint, everybody, you know, a little tactic. Oh,
little inside information.
Little Kiki.
Yeah. If you combine that peanut butter and that cocoa, you get some other name brand flavor.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, 0 grams sugar. But the crazy thing is, like, for cereal and a crunchy snack like that, 13 to 14 grams of protein and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly. Gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free, but still tastes like cereal, you guys. It still tastes like cereal you grew up loving.
It tastes and feels like cereal.
I love the cocoa one. It's so good.
Mm. I've chewed through all of the boxes that they sent me. I kind of want to, like, hey guys, can I get some more?
Anytime you're doing that cocoa, you end up with that chocolate milk at the end. Mm.
And then the peanut butter, we'll just mix them all together.
Yeah, just,
just big bowl of all four of them.
See, now that's where you get me in trouble, because I will try that. You ever go to those yogurt places? I'm the guy who will mix too many things until it doesn't taste good. But I think Jeff's idea of, like, cocoa and peanut butter, that's perfect. I just got to stick with Jeff's, like, instructions.
Yeah. And you're getting so much protein.
Yeah, for sure.
And energy. Like, I know that I drag. I need that thing in the morning that's going to be delicious and also not make me feel like I'm going to crash or cry about all my feelings and past mistakes. Like when I eat a Pop-Tart, I feel energized, fueled. It's high quality.
And that 13 to 14 grams of protein is like, it keeps you full.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I'm 17. So it does reinvent, you know, my childhood favorites.
Yeah. So go to magicspoon.com/MCU to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MCU at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/MCU and use code MCU to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
And, you know, if you don't like it and they give you your money back, you can send it to me and I'll love it.
Yeah, you can send it to me too. Absolutely.
Magic Spoon for days. But no one will do that because it is amazing.
No, they're going to love it.
All right, well, let's get back to Echo.
So what'd you think about the outfit?
It was so good.
I liked that it was an outfit inside of an outfit. There was two reveals, which I loved.
Oh, yeah.
Love a good wardrobe change right in the middle of stuff.
And then another one, slay.
Yeah, very good.
She looked like a goddess.
I loved that we got to see, like, her just kind of walking amongst everybody else in the
hiding in plain sight. That's what you do.
Like, hiding in plain sight perfectly. And then, like, as the drumbeat is going, it syncs up, like her heartbeat syncs up to it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my God, it's so good. It's so good. How do you, like, because one of the things that I've been wondering is, like, how do you enjoy that native heritage and those celebrations like that at powwows being a deaf person? Do you, like, can you only feel the beat and that's it?
It's probably the stomping. Everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you, like, feel the stomping on the ground.
Do you, you can't as easily, like, keep up with the, you know, the chanting that's going on, but, like, you at least feel the beat repeatedly, and it's good, it's in your chest, you know, and that it's synced up with her heart is like, her heart is the people are her heart.
She's
a part of them and they're a part of me.
He didn't get it. I was like, she's being very vulnerable with you right now.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Between the mother scene and then the, okay, how did they do this better than Star Wars when all of her ancestors stood around her? Mm. How was I more emotionally affected by that than Star Wars? They had you know, 40 years of content to build toward that emotional climax in the ninth Star Wars movie. And like, this was the same moment, but so much more emotional and so much more personal. And I loved that, the ancestors standing around her and preparing her for battle.
I think that's what it was, though, is that it was so much more personal.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Rather than being like, oh, yeah, I'm connected to the Force and everybody that came before me that I don't know.
No one that you've ever talked to.
Exactly.
In any capacity. Like, these are voices I've never heard.
A lot of these characters are also voices she's never heard. It's about, the story is about Maya.
But it is people that she's heard stories about in her family. Like,
yeah.
Well, Rey's definitely heard stories about all of the Jedi.
Has she, though?
Anakin? And Yoda, come on.
It shocked me how much more effective it was here.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I don't want to, like,
don't do that, Matt. Horse. You took us down this path that we would be like, oh, let's take 25 minutes and figure this out.
No, on Star Wars.
Back,
you're right.
Back. We grabbed the wheel. He brought it. Yeah, don't do it.
I don't think
I have the Darksaber right there.
It was meant to be rhetorical. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry.
I thought that moment was just killer. Between the mother scene when she gets her costume and the ancestor standing with her for battle, and then the healing of Fisk, like, I was weeping. Like, I was crying hard during this episode.
I thought it felt fast. I thought it just felt a little rushed. I'm like, I wish this wasn't the shortest episode, because I would have liked those scenes. Just do the Zack Snyder thing. Slow it down. I don't care. Let me see what's going on. Make it a little longer just so I can see what's going on, because it was just like boom, bang, bang, boom.
Take that back.
What?
Do the Zack Snyder thing. I was just joking.
I would have liked a little more time as a young kid with her mother, because when she did that, like, that impulsive little kid thing, she pulls out the slingshot. I'm just like,
I go, nah, and I'm like,
you little shit.
Oh gosh.
And then she lied about it. She took it right back, though.
He just fell.
A little bit of context for me this week. Trigger warning for animals dying. My cat decided to start killing birds this week.
Oh, no.
I take that back.
Does she bring him back to you?
Not killing birds. Harming birds very badly, and then bringing them in the house through the doggy door, and has started, she did it two mornings in a row, and started bringing us gifts.
You'll go viral, record it.
Oh.
I seek those videos out.
Well, they were very injured, and so...
No, that's horrible.
I don't have healing powers.
No.
So the kindest thing I could do was to... do the opposite to these poor birds. So I had to put some birds out of their misery this week as like the...
You're a murderer.
You're
a birderer.
I'm a birderer. Thank you, Jeff. It was not easy for me. So when this scene happened with the bird getting injured and I had to do that twice this week.
I'm a sensitive
dude, and I did not like having to put birds out of their misery. Mm-hmm. They were very injured though. And like, yeah, it was not... It hurt me to watch the bird be sad. And when they flew away, that got me in an emotional place before the episode even got started.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, birds, I'm sorry, birds.
I'm so sorry, I'll never do it. Yeah, I didn't care for that. But then she fixed it.
She fixed it.
You did too in your own way. So. Yeah,
there wasn't much to be done.
No.
Other than that, and it was...
You did the right
bad
thing.
It's a bad situation, but I got a PSA. If your cat is ever doing that, you put bells around their neck. I love this solution.
So it scares the birds away.
They can't sneak up on birds.
I love that. Just cover the whole thing.
Yeah,
like it's Krampus, such a smart, jingle jangles.
Yeah, Krampus them up. It is such a smart. We called Paige, my fiance, her sister's a vet, and we called her vet sister. Like, what do we do? Like, I don't know this behavior, but I can't deal with this every morning. And she's done it two mornings in a row. What do? We got bells and put them on our neck, and like, no more birds. And it's great because it's not like we were like, maybe what can we do to at least keep them out of the house? Like, this is terrible. I can't deal with this, but I don't really want the birds dying in general. And it was like, no, this is perfect solution. It makes her a worse hunter.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And you always know where they are. They can't sneak up on you.
Yeah, that's true.
evil.
That's why my cat has a bell on her collar, is because she likes to just kind of show up out of nowhere and just like rub on your legs.
But, oh, yeah.
Leah has, you know, real bad pain in her right foot, like all the time. Mm. So like any tap on the foot makes it just like she's, you know, crippling pain, screaming. Mm. So like if the cat just shows up and does that, that's a bad thing. So we got a collar with a bell just so that, you know, we can hear her walking up just like, hi, I love everybody.
Every day is Christmas.
She's the most affectionate cat. Like, yeah. She's the sweetest cat. And it's just that she's trying to love.
They don't know any better.
She doesn't know any better. Funny. She's doing it wrong. It's like, she's just like, jingle, jingle, hi.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Hey, sweetie.
At night when she's like, cats are psychos at night, do you just hear like, ching, 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 like a horror movie coming closer?
No. She's so chill at night. It's so funny.
Are you serious? That's crazy. Our cat's a psycho at night.
Yeah. When it's time to like go to sleep, she curls up like in my armpit, basically. Like, right beside me, and then like I just kind of try to pet her because my arm doesn't bend that way, and then she just goes to sleep, and I'm like, well, okay, I guess I'm stuck like this.
I guess we just stay like this forever.
It's real cute. It's really cute.
Our cats.
So back to harming birds in the beginning of this episode. The thing that I found interesting about that scene is earlier in the season we have the scene where the vendor gets beat up, and the reason Fisk is scared for Maya to see that is because children generally have empathy. If they see someone like hurting or in pain, they're not gonna harm that person. They're gonna feel bad or feel like the person who hurt them is bad. You know, that basic right. empathy, basic morality that like children just have generally. And so like when he's scared for her to see that, but then she sees it and instead she runs and kicks him, and it's like, oh, this kid might be broken like I'm broken. But what I thought was interesting for her to hurt this bird and then immediately rush to her mom for help showed that like she wasn't broken that way prior to her mother's death. And I think it's really important in this episode that like she is she's very empathetic about the bird and wants the bird saved, and they do. But then it is her mom coming back into her life in that way that she connects with her through the spirit and, like, you know, is able to get her empathy back, you know, and then is able to fix Fisk, much like she fixed the bird. Like, I really like the way they put that together.
The parallel
there? The parallel there, yeah.
She's like, you little baby broken bird.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah, he's mad. He's like, oh, I spent so much on therapy and art.
No, he didn't.
I spent so much on art.
I spent so much on white wall art.
It's like all he has is white wall art.
I thought he was going to show up in his white suit, but he went gray. The things I noticed.
Oh, yeah. The gray suit was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It really was.
Yeah, it was. When the grandmother went to the pawn shop to get her sewing machine back, I was like, I love them. I love them so much. One of them is going to die.
Yeah, for sure. I know we've been talking about it and it's my fault. It's all my fault. But like, as soon as I saw them together, I was like, and then saying, I promise I'll be back. I promise we'll spend time together in the future. Yep. I'll see you soon. I was like, no, you won't. No way. This is definitely safe. And I'm like,
because they said that. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think
it. Yeah. That is totally the kind of thing they do in shows when, like, oh, like, have one last good connective moment and then be like, I'll see you soon And then she's
show
then
that
she's
there
kidnapped.
Are going to be people that miss them when they're gone.
Exactly, like, exactly.
Oh, pow, grandma, she kicked ass.
Yeah.
I did not expect that.
Scully never showed up at the powwow, did he?
Not that we saw.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't know who that actor was. I know y'all said he was in a lot of things, and I've seen him before too, but I think he was only ever on set in that shop. Like, I don't know where that shop is.
He was just at the pawn shop.
Yeah, he never left the pawn shop, I don't believe.
He was at the house in the beginning.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right.
And then
Graham Greene is his name.
Cool. Sweet. But he was great, and I've seen him in other stuff, but I just thought it was funny how he stayed in the pawn shop, like, and he wasn't in any of the big set pieces. And I know he's been in other things, so I wonder if he just, like, they wanted him to be in the show, but couldn't get him for everything.
Like, they had only a certain amount of days to film with him.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking. I didn't remember for sure, and I didn't remember. I don't know if you guys knew. I didn't know that her mom was deaf as well.
Yeah, because when everyone was signing at the bonfire in the first episode, I was like, mm-hmm. She was the only one who wasn't signing and talking. She was obviously signing better than everybody else. I was like, wow, that must be her, you know, natural way of talking.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't
pointed
catch
out
that
she was obviously a native signer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you saying that, but I didn't remember it being like I didn't connect that with her being deaf as well, which we talked about in a previous episode, like how Maya's entire community knows sign language,
right?
And so I was like, well, it shows that they care for Maya, but it also it apparently is because they also had another deaf person in their family, and if that's the case, they also may have had others. If it was a genetic thing, it's very possible their like family has other deaf people in it as well.
Yep.
I kind of like that they didn't even bring it up in the mother's origin story or like her birth, because we did go through the mother's origin story, which was rough. I'm telling you, scenes like that, I'm like, why? I'm not doing it.
You're talking about the birth?
Yeah.
The native birth, the water.
Oh, my God.
In the forest.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, God. And she was like, when I left the white hospital, you know, because they were like, it's in God's hands now. It's like, no.
No.
No, there's stuff that we can do.
Yeah, kind of. As much as, like, I understand the symbolism of that, and, like, I was kind of like, yeah. Have the sisters come to her. Like, leave the lady in the hospital. Like, don't encourage people that it's a good idea if you're having a problem pregnancy to, like, rush into the forest.
She needed to walk and stand it off.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's intense.
And I looked it up during this episode. That actress that plays her mom, Katerina Zierwogel is her name, and she is a deaf screenwriter, award-winning screenwriter who is deaf.
Oh, cool.
What did she write?
Yeah. I mean, I read the article. Sorry. It said award-winning.
Sorry. You have to have those backup questions ready. You know I'm going to ask them.
I'm sorry. I know.
You
I'm
have
sorry.
To know everything about things you mentioned, Jeff.
At least
I can't just
what it was.
Bring up some of it.
You know I'm
Finality of Dusk. She was a writer on Finality of Dusk this past year, and apparently she won an award for that.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know what else is cool? Miracle bed sheets.
Ooh, yeah, they are. So
they
freaking
stay
cool. Did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe some of us are slower learners. But if you wake up too hot or too cold, I recommend you check out Miracle Made bed sheets. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. It's very... once you get to NASA-inspired, you have to, like, go with, like, an epic speech, you know?
NASA and silver? And did you know that these, you know, your bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat?
Gross.
We've avoided saying that on all the reads up till now because I really don't like that they include that.
Yeah, we're going to let everybody know. Like, I feel like everyone should know.
Bed sheets can harbor a ton of bacteria, but these sheets are infused with silver that prevent up to 97% of bacterial growth.
And stop 100% of vampires.
That's true.
If you're fans of Supernatural, you will wrap this bedsheet around you.
Werewolves don't stand a chance.
We guarantee if you buy these bedsheets at our code, trymiracle.com/MCU, use promo code MCU, you will have no problems with vampires.
Werewolves.
Ghosts. Werewolves. Succubi.
Succubi. Incubi. Anybi. Well,
depends on what kind of buys you want in your bed. Some people may want those.
Yeah. I wonder if the silver treats the vampire and werewolves the same way that it does bacteria. Because, you know, the ionized silver like that in the sheets is like the way that it stops bacteria is it just eviscerates them. Like it punches holes
in the cell wall. That's really awesome.
And like the cellular replication, it just inhibits like at a cellular level, it just kills it.
Yeah, these spaceships are dope.
It really, These space sheets are dope. You got to get them. Stop sleeping on bacteria. Bacteria can clog your pores, causing breakouts and acne. You'll sleep better. You sleep. I felt like they were very luxurious, nice sheets, and I felt like I slept really, really cool. And I didn't even know that's something I needed. I know that sounds stupid, but once I had them, I was like, this is the only sheets I ever need. I love them.
Yeah.
I sweat at night like a you-know-what in a house of God, and it is just not normal. My husband won't sleep. He doesn't even want to touch me. These sheets have changed our lives.
Buy these sheets. Yeah. Your husband will touch you.
Get these sheets to save your marriage.
He goes, He's like, what's wrong with you? Do you need to go to the hospital? Is usually what he says.
Yep. My girlfriend calls me a furnace because I push out so much heat.
It's just sweat. He's like, did you pee yourself? I'm like, no. I just had some kind of nightmare or dream. I can't remember at all.
Well, if you have any of these issues, I really do truly recommend Miracle Sheets. They are really, really good. Miracle made sheets. Go to trymiracle.com/MCU to try Miracle Made Sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code MCU at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's back with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/MCU and use promo code MCU to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/MCU. to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode and protecting us from vampires.
And werewolves.
You know what frustrated me in this episode?
Something frustrated Matt?
Me? Never. I'm never frustrated. But
not once.
I understand why she wouldn't want anything from Fisk. But that contact was real cool.
That's what I said. I go, don't throw that out. But I guess maybe because he's the only one who has the other one.
Well, I think it worked. It never showed it working for anyone else. So maybe you're right. Maybe it only works for Fisk, and that would make it useless. But like,
yeah, it's really selfish
because he's just that you and me kind of mentality. Well,
like, that's more of that isolation where like you can have this tool, but it only works for me.
Yeah, it seemed like
the only one who understands you.
when she puts it on, she looks at him and it calibrates and like looks at him and figures out where his shoulders are and all that stuff. And so I just assumed it did that for whoever she's looking at, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's just for Fisk, and that does suck.
Yeah. Well, I'd be worried he could track me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't know. Contact tracker is pretty... Yeah, who knows? It is a sci-fi universe.
It's in my eye. I want it out. You can't sleep with those in anyway, right?
That's true. It's true. It's gotta go eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of contact solution you use for.
Those are really expensive.
Yeah. He's like, you can only come to me for the solution.
Yeah.
Because that's what he would do.
Yeah, it's true. So I didn't even, when you said solution, I didn't realize you meant solution. Contact solution. Even though I just said it.
Is that the wrong word? Like, is it salutant? No.
No, so you were right.
Solution's the right word.
You're correct. I just meant like, It was a funny thing. It was a funny comment.
It reminds me of the Yellow Jacket story. Like, I'll give you the weapon, but, you know, the juice, like, you don't run on diesel. Like, the juice ain't free. Yeah. But it's, like, such a smaller stakes kind of thing. It's like, I give you a contact so you could communicate with people.
Just me.
You know, if you want the solution for it so that it doesn't wreck your eyeball, you gotta stick with me.
Yeah.
You have to call me Uncle.
Oof, yeah. And she did. Shit. And she did. The only other frustration I have with this entire ending is that while I think it is very meaningful that she chooses healing for Fisk and that she is healed, and I think if you take it in a like metaphorical like way, her connection with her past and with her people and her realization that they are all inside of her and all that caused her healing. It isn't just a magic touch, but I do kind of hate the idea of a magic touch character change in general. You know what I mean? Like, just that's not how characters work. And so, like, or how people work. So, I like it. I really was on board. I didn't think I'd be as on board. When it happened, I was like, ooh, I don't love that. And then I really like it. And then using it on Fisk is such just a weird choice that it excites me on a creative level. Like, I'm like, I don't know where they go from there.
Right.
Like, I don't know if is he a good guy now? Like, is he actually someone? I mean, obviously, he's not a good guy.
He hasn't actually done the work. He's going to get reverse psychology.
He's like, pain doesn't exist.
Get it out of me. I don't want to care or love.
Put the pain back. Put the pain back.
He stops having empathy for the opposite reason. It's like pain doesn't exist. It's not real. It's in your mind.
I feel bad when I beat good people to death. You know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, what if he puts on the daredevil suit?
Just that. He'd be like, I am justice. No.
Oh, God.
I am vengeance.
Man. So I'm on board. I'm really excited. They did it well, but it raised my eyebrows a little bit where I was like, well, it's not a great thing. And it really messes things up going forward. Like, if she can just do that for anyone.
Yeah. Supervillains shouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And even heroes, dark heroes, like you mentioned Punisher, Matt.
Well, that's kind of why I want her to be a villain, because we have so many OP heroes right now. Ooh. We don't really have anybody to kind of offset them. We need like a Loki. You know, need a Loki who's like, we love you and we understand what you're doing. I might love it, but everybody else might not love what you're doing. But I understand what you're doing. And, you know, you can also stand toe-to-toe with some of these OP heroes like She-Hulk or who knows. It's kind of like Mantis, but souped-up powers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of She-Hulk, ooh. I really wanted when Maya walked into the backyard and, like, her backyard barbecue with her family, I really wanted Matt Murdock to be at the table.
Yeah.
Just, like, again, for no reason. Like, really? It doesn't make any sense in this context, but he's just, like, hangs out at random super people's family barbecues. That's just what he does.
like Bruce Banner's there, and he's just like, this is my son. It's Carl. Yeah, exactly. Who are you?
What is going on right now?
Why are you here?
Everyone's invited to the barbecue.
Everyone's invited to every barbecue.
Exactly. Either that or the Fast crew or whatever. Fast and the Furious.
Family.
Oh. Always goes back to that.
Always ends on a backyard barbecue.
It always goes back to family.
Yeah, that's right. Is that it? Family?
Yeah. The F circled.
F circled.
There's also, like, you know, if you're a student in a class, your group, you know, community is very similar to that. Like, it's just a grouping of people.
Cool. Well, I think this episode's rad. I think the show is rad. I think it got me in 5 episodes, and really like 4 episodes and 10 minutes or whatever was new content. Like, it got me to a really emotional place. I mean, they had to convince my cat to bring birds in this week, but like, it did win me over.
That's commitment.
Your cat was like, oh, your spirit animal's trying to talk to you. We're not going to put up with that this week.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I got a good what if question for you though.
Ooh.
What if Maya does the fingers?
We can't call it that.
We can't call it the fingers. Okay, what if she fingers someone?
Yeah, what if she fingers Mark Spector?
Oh.
Moon Knight.
Oh, I don't know.
That is a lot of trauma to heal.
Does that make Steven go away? Does that make Jake Lockley go away?
Mm.
Does it work at all?
Yeah. But does it heal the pain of the altar that she's currently interacting with?
You have to do all 3.
Yeah, you gotta wait for the other altars to come up so that you can hit them too.
Zapping them until they come through.
Just hang out.
Yeah.
Are you a different one yet? Oh, he's speaking Spanish!
Yeah! Oh, man.
I was just ordering tacos. Oh,
what were our bets? I'm so bad at remembering things.
So, we would see a character.
Yeah, we
is anyone
did,
gonna
we did
die?
Not see a character. Is anyone gonna die?
I would. You said that we would see someone we didn't see yet.
Right.
In
that was the third question. Yeah. And we did not
wildly inaccurate.
Yeah.
We did not.
That I one, went so, wild I card only, and went no, but I thought we would, but I'm sad that I was right.
Yeah.
I wanted Jessica Jones.
Not like this.
No.
So I was wrong on
when
that
we were
one.
On the plane, I was like, bullshit, that plane does not look like that anymore.
I really wish there'd been
a giant hole in,
it was
hole in the
fine.
Wall.
What did you bet? What did you guess on that one, Jeff?
That it was going to be somebody from probably Netflix.
Netflix. Okay, so Ashley gets the point on that one. Someone would die.
Nobody died.
Except
for Zane.
I said no.
Zane. On the, that. Oh, wait, what? Yes. Uncle Henry brought out that silencer. So if you think I didn't notice that, he's like,
Yep.
Silencer.
He's like, I don't want the powwow to go crazy. Like, let's keep this quiet.
Squeak, squeak,
and
squeak,
then he
squeak.
Winked at the guy.
Yeah, get
he
him.
He winked at the guy.
I like him. My God. I like him a lot. He has consecutively made me happy in every episode.
Yeah, yep. It was good. Really good. I liked the, what? Like, yeah, someone's about to shoot.
Come on.
Boom.
And then, hey, we got fireworks over the powwow. Hey, yeah.
Okay. If you want to talk about things I had a problem with, that I had a problem with. If you what? That would not come off as a firework. I'm sorry. That was a like
boom. That was an RPG.
Yeah. That's not a firework. And you can't cover that up with other fireworks. Every car that's alarm true. Would have been going off. Like that would have been a problem.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But of course, whatever.
Fireworks do that, but yeah.
If I have to nitpick
if I have to pick nits.
That was the only part I was like, you are not covering that up with a firework.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Because it's never just one.
Let's see if anybody said anything in the Twitch that tagged us. We got one.
Yeah, you
we
can
got one.
Spoil now. We're all caught up.
Yeah, we're all caught up. Now we can look at the Twitch unfearingly. Mikey Herb said, all in all, did you guys like the release of it all at once? I think it was smart for Marvel with this show for the reason of it being kind of what is going on. And you can just move to the next episode. Would be interesting to do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday release schedule or something, though. So you have a little more water cooler talk time. Yeah, I
agree with that.
I don't like the all at once, but five isn't too bad. I feel like this was fun, but only for us for, I had like serious nostalgia from when we used to do this. Like 2-3 years ago.
13 episodes at a time.
Like during the Netflix times.
I didn't get to do that with you, but we did it for Umbrella Academy, I feel like. Oh, yeah. There was a couple things we just, that one was crazy because we did all day. And we did seven or eight episodes.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like a 10 episode thing, it's like that becomes a marathon of podcasting. It's like, okay, we got to watch, record.
So I finally got to do a Marvel
we
thing.
We sleep.
Yay!
Yeah, with you guys. It's been, don't know how long since those shows.
Unrelated to us being podcasters, I think this worked for this show.
Five episodes is cool for an all at once.
I think five episodes for all at once is good. And the episodes were short enough.
Yeah, like it literally is shorter than a lot of movies. I mean, it's less than 3 hours long.
Oh, yeah. Well, Scorsese movies.
If you cut off the... if you cut off the ending and the intro, if you're skipping the intro and your which the intro was really cool, I keep meaning to mention it. It's really rad.
We watched the intros at the first episode and at the last episode of all the series that we watch,
just to see if they change.
No, just like because I'm like, okay, if this is the last one we get, we'll never see that again. So I'll watch it again.
Sure.
There are so like of course there's intros you watch Dexter, Game of Thrones, Daredevil was my favorite intro of any TV show ever. Good.
Yeah, it depends on my mood whether I'm watching an intro or not. Like, if I'm in kind of a, like, let's get through this, I'll just skip it. But
yeah, True Blood had the best intro. I want to do bad things with you. Can't get sued. That's it. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if we got sued by that guy?
All right. Well, I dig it. But to fully answer my gear, I think it was pretty good for this show. I don't want them to do it a lot, though. I really don't want them to do... I miss the water cooler. I mean, we did the water cooler, but among the three of us, but it was... like, I saw people posting in Stranded Panda chat, you know, on day one when it dropped. Okay, episode 4 comments about Echo, and I'm like, I can't read this right now.
It's the first time we haven't had a feedback episode between... the content that came out. Usually somewhere in there, we have a break in there where we continue to talk about what other people saying and make new theories, and that's where the red strings come from.
Exactly. Yep. And we can't do that. I mean, and this...
I give us a B plus on this one.
Yeah, we did good. High fives. Yeah.
Good job, guys. Good job. On us watching it, like, it is... I also, when I do it... So we just did as non-podcasters. As podcasters, I really like being able to watch a show twice. I really like being able to watch a show once for fun and just enjoy it. And a second time to, like, take notes and really pay attention and get the wording of things right.
I did not get to do that for half of these.
Yeah, for half of these, I had to, like, just jump right back on the cast to get these out quickly to our patrons. So
I like to be professional. I agree with you sometimes. Yeah,
I really
But then
like
I never
to
get to do it anyway. Because Loki, I'd be like, oh my God, I get home and watch it.
Yeah, you're always rushing anyway. Anyway, well, I hopefully they'll do a good job.
I think what they did for WandaVision was great because
that was only six, right?
It was nine episodes.
But they did three at once or like three.
They
in
dropped
the first
three like all at once, and those first three
were 25 minutes, right?
Yeah, they were the short old school TV episodes.
Okay,
and so like you had that story that was kind of all compacted into one little. Quick viewing to like get you hooked and get you in and get you asking questions.
Yeah.
And then like after that, they would drop, whatever information we needed or they thought we needed, enough for us to draw those string theories out.
Oh yeah. Mephistork.
Mephistork.
Mephistork for the win.
I will die on that hill.
I will die.
Well, I dug it. I'm into it. I want more Maya. I
want more everybody.
I really hope this post-credit sequence and this new spotlight era of adult content, like, I really hope that means they have a plan. When they did with Defenders, they had a plan. And I really hope this means, like, okay, we've got Maya. We've got Kingpin in a really interesting situation. Like, give me the Daredevil show soon. Of course, the strike pushed it back, like, 2 years. And they rewrote the whole thing, too.
Well, what if they rewrote it? Because, like, with the Kang stuff happening, all of our OP heroes are going to be bop over there dealing with that, or if that's what happens, or whatever they're going to turn that into.
Yeah.
We will have the Wilson Fisks and the lower level baddies rising up in power and trying to corrupt cities. And I really hope, like, it has to be Spider-Man. It has to be the Daredevil Spider-Man Defenders
really
stuff, trying to keep that stuff in check, because what else did that mean, that cutscene, then? He's going to finally start being that top ace villain.
It would have been so good.
But not, though, because he got his feelings. You're right, Matt. Ugh.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I want to see out of Fisk. He has his feeling, he has his pain fixed, but he still has just a very broken morality. He's still very selfish and still very broken. And I'm interested in the idea of that. Like, when you're not driven by pain anymore. What is he driven by? Is he driven by power? Is he still just driven by like the selfishness of wanting people's affection, power, money, but also like Vanessa, Maya, like we've seen him really get into like a person that he wants to control and wants to have
white fingernails.
What if Vanessa starts to like put the abuse back in him because she wants her old Fisk back?
Well, Vanessa would have known Maya then. Like, this is the little girl I pick up from school.
Yeah.
Well, I know she was probably Vanessa, not a little girl at that point.
Yeah. Well, and also, far
or
beyond.
Or maybe.
He didn't meet Vanessa until, like, 2000. It was at least past 2012, because that was when the incident happened. So, it had to be, like, 2014.
So, she was an assassin at that point.
No, she was still just his, like, student or whatever.
Okay.
She wasn't an assassin until during the blip. When he's like... Now that your father's been killed by Ronan, you can like use your skills and your rage to get this catharsis that I like to get. It's called murdering, or as I like to call it, birdering. Jeff,
I know what you did to that.
You really killed me with that joke. You really did. I'm loving it. I'm loving it so much. my family's going to be calling me a birder from now on, and I don't appreciate it. but I also do.
I imagine now like Smeagol or Gollum saying it like "Birder."
it can get. We had that week of Kent. We had so many mice. You couldn't set a trap and walk away from it without it snapping.
Wow. Oh man.
Ken was like affected by it. Yeah. He was just like, "It's Moskowitz in here. He's like, I can't deal with this anymore. I can't handle it. He's like, I don't know what to do. So we could, the cat really helped. But yeah, so now, like, every time we hear like a snap or it's like something with a mouse, Ken's like, I can't.
Yeah. It's tough. I don't like killing any animals if I can avoid it. And it's just, it's tough. Not built for that.
No, me neither.
But yeah. Okay. I guess that's it. Are we done? Is that the bad?
There was one more part where I was like, it would have been nice, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It would have been really easy to have somebody like a Foggy or a Karen Page or somebody like that in the TV on that news program, like talking about the mayoral race.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That could be interesting. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would be good.
Like Foggy's a guest on there.
Foggy's girlfriend. Like, she's sort of that. She's like a lawyer.
I loved her.
I could totally see her being like a pundit at this point, you know, so many years later.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my call. Here's my, my call for what is going to happen next with Fisk. When we return to this world of Spotlight and the more adult MCU stuff, he's already mayor. That way we get rid of repeating stuff from season 3 and it just like opens up, he's mayor, and it's just like, that's the threat of the city. The city's being run by Fisk, and you've got the lower level heroes like Daredevil dealing with that. I think that's my prediction.
I want it to be that, but I want it to be Fisk. I want Fisk to be the protagonist of the show. And I want it to be like the West Wing. I want it to be Fisk Wing.
Where's Mark Paul Gosling?
I like that. I like that idea. Like mayor of New York City trying to deal.
I would watch that.
I'd watch the hell out of it.
Is he president at some point in the comics, or is that just Norman Osborn?
That was Osborn.
I think that's Norman Osborn during the snap, right? Or whatever the original. Or Wanda getting rid of like half the people.
Okay. I couldn't remember, but I could totally see them doing that too. Like going for, he's mayor of New York, that gets him popularity. He becomes a politician and then moves on to try to run for president or whatever.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
That's when Spider-Man has to come in.
Yeah. Because
it's like Daredevil's like, I can't stop the races. He just keeps winning because it's corrupt and I can't do anything about it. And everybody sucks. No.
Everybody sucks. All right. We're going to get out of here. We love you all very much. Go join the Patreon, patreon.com/MCUcast.
Yeah, we love you, patrons.
Love you, patrons. And this, we were able to get all these episodes out to you guys within 3 days, and that feels good. Feels good. Actually, I guess it's really like almost 48 hours since we recorded. So these will be up within like 2.5 days, basically. So I'm glad
we did a good job. High five, guys.
High five.
We already did it once, but all around.
No,
all
high around. Five again.
High five again. all right. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.